Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John. Across America, Christian children, teachers, parents, and others face rejection and hatred for refusing to compromise their faith. Many people find that hard to believe. Some cling to a memory of what we once were and refuse to admit that everything we have treasured, our values, families, churches, schools, legal and medical systems, even our government has already changed. After all, we still have our Bill of Rights, don't we? And we're a Christian nation under God's protection, aren't we? But our Constitution has been reinterpreted to fit a new political agenda. Our political, legal, and education systems have been infiltrated by leaders who have betrayed America for an alluring vision of a global village and a new social ethic based on a blend of earth-centered religions and socialist values, ruling out biblical boundaries and absolutes. We shouldn't really be surprised. A nation that sets pagan values above God's truth will despise genuine Christianity. That's why Jesus told his disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you, because they do not know him who sent me." John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. The centuries of Christian freedom in America have been an anomaly in the history of time. Today, we're simply returning to the conditions our Lord told us about, what he told us to expect in the world that neither understands nor tolerates God and his people. This spreading hatred toward Christian beliefs and values has been smoldering in international circles for decades. Let me take you back. Dr. Brock Chisholm, a Canadian psychiatrist and former chief of the United Nations World Health Organization, who summarized it in 1946. Like many other globalists, he considered Christianity the main obstacle to worldwide solidarity. Here's what he has to say. "We have swallowed all manner of poisonous certainties fed us by our parents. The results are frustration, inferiority, neuroses, and inability to make the world fit to live in. It has long been generally accepted that parents have the perfect right to impose any points of view, any lies or fears, superstitions, prejudices, hates, or faith on our defenseless children. These things cause neuroses. Surely the training of children in homes and schools should be of at least as great public concern as are their vaccinations. People with guilt, fears, inferiorities are certain to project their hates onto others. Such reaction now becomes a dangerous threat to the whole world." Well, la-di-da. 2 years later, the International Congress on Mental Health held a world conference in London. Now, I'm taking you back. He stated this back in 1946. So 2 years later, the International Congress on Mental Health held a world conference in London where it issued a report titled Mental Health and World Citizenship, and it echoed Dr. Chisholm's sentiment. This is what it had to say. "Social institutions such as family and school impose their imprint early. Thus, prejudice, hostility, or excessive nationalism may become deeply embedded in the developing personality, often at great human cost. Change will be strongly resisted unless an attitude of acceptance has first been engendered." Well, Hollywood has taught our children to delight in evil, while schools immerse them in pagan rituals to other gods. Just turn on your TV. Everything is monsters, aliens, killing, murder. Look at your games, your video games. Everything is destruction. Our children are being desensitized. Many church leaders are ashamed to mention sin and the cross, and their followers are drifting with those trends, often too distracted to care. What is the difference between Christianity, humanism, and globalism? Well, a Christian paradigm bases their values on biblical truth. A humanist paradigm says, separate church and state. A globalist says, link values to earth-centered religions. A Christian trusts God. A humanist trusts self. A globalist trusts the state. A Christian teach personal responsibility. A humanist teach human rights. A globalist teach collective responsibility. A Christian, love God and people. A humanist, love self. You have to have self-esteem. A globalist, respect all who fit new paradigm. A Christian, don't tolerate sin. A humanist, tolerate all lifestyles. A globalist, Don't tolerate dissenters. Zero tolerance. With the promotion of paganism came freedom to experiment with occultic powers. It didn't take long before youth, addicted to pagan thrills, became subject to the promptings of the forces they invoked. So did countless others who had simply drifted away from truth, and the warning in 1 John 5:19 became increasingly relevant. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. The evil one knows well how to stir hatred toward God's people and engender a social climate well suited for his purpose. His main target seems to be our children, and their training must start before they have embraced the poisonous certainties of biblical Christianity. This is a sad time. Teen suicide has increased to epidemic proportions. You have 1 out of 3 girls from ages 14 to 19 that have a sexually transmitted disease. Something is terribly wrong. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, established their Declaration of Tolerance way back in 1995. Our Congress pulled the United States out of that Marxist-leaning UNESCO during the 80s, but our nation leads the way in implementing the same guidelines that UNESCO tried to impose in our schools and in our culture. UNESCO stated tolerance is respect, acceptance, and appreciation of the rich diversity of our world's cultures. It is not only a moral duty, it is also a political and legal requirement. They also stated tolerance involves the rejection of dogmatism and absolutism. They also continued with tolerance means that one's views are not to be imposed on others. Tolerance involves the rejection of dogmatism and absolutism. Tolerance means that one's views are not to be imposed on others. So what this means is that they are stating tolerance involves the rejection of dogmatism and absolutism. Tolerance means that one's views are not to be imposed on others. Went on to say, intolerance is a global threat. Scientific studies and networking should be undertaken to coordinate the international community's response to this global challenge, including analysis of root cause and effect, countermeasures, as well as monitoring, tolerance promotion, and the shaping of attitudes of openness, mutual listening, and solidarity should take place in schools and universities and through non-formal education at home and in the workplace. Promote rational tolerance teaching methods that will address the cultural, social, economic, political, and religious sources of intolerance, major roots of violence. UNESCO's Declaration of Tolerance not only rules out absolutism or biblical truths, it also called the nations to address the religious sources of intolerance, and the process of desensitization must involve everyone. When Clinton was president, he stated, all of us have to do more in our communities and in our homes and places of worship to teach all of our children about the dignity of every person. Warning children that God forbids homosexual behavior and worship of other gods would be considered disrespectful to the people who embrace those practices and therefore hateful. To counter such dangerous teachings, Christian parents must be taught politically correct child raising. Many pastors have agreed to support the new training programs in the wake of the 1996 contract between the U.S. Department of Education and most mainline denominations. Drawing church leaders into the process is key to success. Now, I just took you back. This is nothing new. This has been going on for decades. God told us repeatedly what will happen to a nation that refuses to follow the shepherd. His warning was, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget. Otherwise, your heart will become proud. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, you will surely be destroyed. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, verse 14, verse 17, verse 19. Does this apply to America? America up to now has been one of the richest countries in the world. Now with the dollar failing and euros going up, soon and very soon, you're going to have a new monetary system in America. It is the Amero, linking Canada, America, and Mexico. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 11, we are not immune to consequences like those that destroyed ancient Israel. Human nature hasn't changed with time. Like ancient Israel, we share the same natural inclination to drift toward apathy, compromise, rebellion, and paganism, anything but God himself. God may withdraw his protection from a nation that turns to other gods, but he never fails to guard and guide those who remain faithful to him. He doesn't promise to save us from pain and persecution, but in the midst of suffering, we can count on his strength and loving presence. When global governance becomes reality, there will be no place for dissenters to hide, other than in Christ. Now is the time to put on the full armor of God and delight in the love relationship he offers us. That means knowing the truth of the armor, the truth about God, our righteousness in him, and all that it means to share his peace, salvation, life, and triumph forever. Is your goal success in this world or success in God's kingdom? If it is to love and follow the King who has called you to fellowship with him for all eternity, then you are ready for the next step. One goal of the consensus process is to enable young and old to respect and appreciate all kinds of lifestyles and rituals that clash with God's guidelines. For example, when gay and lesbian activists share their beliefs and practices in a class, the students must respect and appreciate their chosen lifestyle. That attitude doesn't fit God's wise guidelines, which calls the gay lifestyle sin, but tells us to love sinners and draw them back to the only one who can set them free. If you refuse to conform to a world that demands compromise, it will turn against you. Today, resistance brings rejection. Tomorrow, it will bring cruel and unjust punishment. Are you willing to count the approval of God more precious than the approval of peers? The Apostle Paul did, and therefore he could say this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Philippians 3 verses 7 through 9. You know, there was an old song, an old hymn that said, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." And I'm going to tell you something. We need to understand that. We need to know that. We need to realize that none of us fit here. Pray that God will impress in your hearts a deepening, spirit-given awareness that our citizenship is in heaven, not in earth. Look at Philippians 3:20. We are raised up in heavenly places with our King, the sovereign ruler of the universe. We have nothing to fear. Rejection, pain, persecution all become stepping stones to a more glorious future. Paul, who suffered far more than we could even imagine, said it well. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18. You need to prepare. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds. And know, the persecution, it's just around the corner. Some of you are going through that even now. Some of you listening to me across the world are being persecuted for your beliefs. Some of you know that to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior means that you will lose your life. I have witnessed that myself. I have been in countries where I've had an altar call, and one lone person in a village stands up and comes forward, knowing full well, that as soon as I left, that they would be killed. So let me ask you, where's your heart today? Do you really believe, or are you just playing the game? Has walking with the Lord become just a social club? You go to church for the donuts and the children's church and the children's Sunday school, and they have games, and they have this, and they have that, and where the pastor gives you enough truth that you feel like you actually went to church, but enough entertainment to keep you coming back. What type of a Christian are you? Who do you serve? Are you a closet humanist? Are you a closet globalist? Or are you a believer? Does the Christian label mean that you belong to a social club, or that you belong to Jesus Christ? We're coming to a day and a time when even the church will be a split. There'll be a separation of the true believers and the Christian social club. And I really believe that the day will come where you see the church, the true church, go underground. Beware. draw closer to him, and he will draw close to you. I don't like to close my program without giving someone an opportunity to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you will pray the simple prayer with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know that I am a sinner and that you died on a cross to give me eternal life. On the third day you rose again, and you are seated at the right hand of the Father. I ask you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Lead me and guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have prayed that simple prayer with me, contact me or write to me, P.O. Box 1695, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. I would love to send you a New Believer's Packet for free and help you along your way. You can email me, info@saythattv.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time.